one final race to decide it all. The champion will be crowned this weekend for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series as they head down to Homestead, Miami to settle it off between the Championship Four to see who'll be the champion for this year. If you are new to NASCAR, the way they settle the championship is they have the playoffs, as we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, and then they whittle it down to four final drivers. And those four drivers are the only guys eligible to win the championship. Whoever finishes highest in this race at Homestead Miami this weekend is the champion, which means it's going to be pretty fun. There have been a lot of good races since they changed to this format, and I am excited to get watching to that on Sunday. Let's break it all down, though, from a DFS perspective. So welcome on into the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by NumberFire. That is right here on NumberFire.com and the NumberFire Podcast Network. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for NumberFire.com. Here to take a look at what you need to know from a DFS perspective entering this weekend for the Ford EcoBoost 400. And a lot of this podcast will focus around what championship drivers have done in this race since they changed to this format. This is, again, the final race of the season. The four drivers competing for that championship are Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Joey Logano. And if you haven't checked out pricing on FanDuel yet for this week, they are the four most expensive drivers by a pretty wide margin. Harvick is 14.5, and then Logano, Busch, and Truex are all 13.5 for this weekend. We will talk more about those guys in the track breakdown, but first, some logistics for this weekend. First practice is on Friday at 1 p.m. You can watch that as always, and you can gain a lot of valuable knowledge from practice. That first practice on Friday will likely be qualifying runs only, so we're not going to get 10-lap data from that one, but it will show us who is fast, and that does matter. Qualifying is Friday night at 6:10 p.m. Second practice, Saturday at 11:35. That one is going to be a bit colder, so the track will not quite be as similar to what it would be during the second practice, the final practice, I should say, which is on Saturday at 2 p.m. That is the practice that is closest to the race time, which is at 3 p.m. Sunday, which is also when Lock will be, and you want to try to find out who is fast when the track is most similar to what it will be during the race. So that final practice on Saturday is going to be a huge one. We'll talk more about practice times also in the track breakdown to let you know what data will be most relevant. Before we take a look at what championship contenders have done at this track in the past, gotta remind you that with the NFL, NBA, and NHL all in full swing, NumberFire Premium has you covered. With award-winning DFS tools, advanced stats, and expert content, Premium has everything you need to dominate across all three sports. If you are a new user, try it out and get your first month for only $7.95 with the promo code CLUTCH. That is promo code CLUTCH, C-L-U-T-C-H. Visit numberfire.com/premium for more details. Let's take a look at the track breakdown here for Homestead, starting off with that championship four and what they have done here in the past. NASCAR switched its playoff configuration 4 years ago, which means we have four races of data on what the quote-unquote championship four have done in these races, and they have won each of those four races since this format was changed. They haven't always dominated the laps led, and that does matter for DFS, but they have gotten there when it has counted most. If we look at the top five scores from each race, so the five highest scoring drivers from a FanDuel perspective in those races, the two highest scoring drivers in 2014, which was the first race in this format, they were both championship contenders in each year since then. Two of the four highest scores have come from members of the championship four. There's never been three in there, but there have been two. So keep that in mind, that championship drivers do score really well here. That could lead you to believe that you would want two drivers in every lineup. And in an ideal world, you likely would. If you had no salary cap, that would be totally great. But there are some constraints here that we have to consider before automatically plugging two of these guys into every lineup. First, we do need to prioritize some laps led. There are 267 total laps in this race on Sunday, which leaves us 26.7 points available for laps led on FanDuel. If we look at the past four races at Homestead, at least one driver has led 86 or more laps in every single race. That's 8.6 points. It's a pretty big number. Two drivers have led at least 50 laps in every race, which means, again, five additional points. That's equivalent to 10 spots of place differential in FanDuel scoring rules. And those guys aren't always championship-contending drivers who lead those laps. So we do have to account for this, and you can't just blindly plug in two championship contenders for every lineup. Usually, the laps led will come from the front of the pack, though, so maybe not championship four guys, but it will be drivers who start up front most often. If we look at the nine drivers who have led 50 or more laps, five of those nine started within the top five spots, and four of them were on the front row, so almost half have come from the front row. Only one driver started lower than eighth and led at least 50 laps. That was Kyle Larson, who led a buck 132 laps from 24th 2 years ago. And Kyle Larson is basically a unicorn here, so I would not view that as being a predictable thing, unless you get someone like Harvick, who starts back there. Maybe he could do it, or Larson himself. But most drivers will not lead 132 laps when starting all the way back in 24th. This says that we need laps led, and that means we need to pick drivers who are starting up front. If the drivers in the championship four start further back, we're probably not going to get those laps led from those guys. Again, maybe unless it's Harvick. Let's say that Kyle Larson starts in the pole, and the championship four are all starting a bit further back. There, it's going to be hard to assume Larson doesn't lead a bunch of laps. And if he does that, we will want him in there rather than a second member of the championship four. The other advantage of Larson is that he is cheaper. He is $12,500, whereas the cheapest Champion 4 driver is $13,500, and that does matter. Because we do want to go with more balanced rosters for this weekend. So we got the incentive of leading or getting laps led. That's one reason to only use one, potentially one, Championship 4 driver. The other one is those balanced rosters. Scoring here is relatively flat. If you go back to 2014, only 7.8 FanDuel points separated the highest score from the fifth highest score. In 2015, it was actually smaller, with 6.9 points. It was bigger the next 2 years, the gap between first and fifth, but that's because Larson had slate-busting totals all by himself. The scores after him were relatively flat, and what that says is you get that one guy, and then you go kind of balanced from there. When scoring is flat, you want more of a balanced roster and to avoid punting. Drivers who start in the back don't traditionally score well here unless we get some strong driver who is back there, which seems unlikely based on how qualifying has gone down in the past. It is possible I could change things up here if qualifying gets different, but I think that based on the balanced rosters, based on the flat scoring, I probably don't see myself using two drivers from the championship four in a whole lot of lineups. So my baseline assumption entering this weekend is that I'm going to use just one of these drivers per lineup. It is possible I could use two if there happens to be a ton of good value, like if the drivers in the low 7,000 range happen to qualify around 20th or so and are fast in practice, then I will change up my strategy for sure. But that hasn't been the case historically at Homestead. The other situation in which I would be willing to bend is if one of the championship four drivers qualifies poorly. When the top two scorers in 2014 were both championship four, they were there because one of them qualified 21st. That was Ryan Newman. The other was a lap leader at the front. So in that scenario, you had the upside from the driver at the front to lead laps. You had the upside from the driver at the back to get place differential. There it did make sense to go with two championship four drivers as opposed to just one. So if we get a situation where Kyle Busch qualifies poorly and Kevin Harvick's on the pole, then I might be more willing. I think that the way to look at punting for this week is ask yourself, if by using this person, am I getting more upside? Am I getting more upside by using Chris Buescher than I would by using, let's say, Paul Menard, who is $500 more expensive? If you're getting a lot more upside by bumping down that $500 and getting that second championship four driver in, go for it. Totally okay. Then I'm on board with it. But that hasn't been the case historically. So I think Just ask yourself that question, am I getting more upside elsewhere by using this driver than I would by using slightly more expensive? If the answer is yes, you are getting more upside, then it is okay to do so. So, be flexible based on what happens in qualifying, but I would assume you're getting only one of these championship four drivers. After that, you kind of want to put an emphasis on finishing points. We can get some place differential points here, but they're a bit less common. The track is super fast, so good cars tend to qualify well, and poor cars aren't going to finish very well. Drivers who have scored well without leading a lap here, so our value drivers, generally start about between 15th and 25th. That's likely our sweet spot range for finding our other drivers in our lineups. If it's a mid-range driver who can finish in the top five, someone in the 10,000 range, then I don't really care where they start. They support a balanced roster, they still bring some upside, but I think having them start in the back would definitely make them pretty desirable. That's your Ryan Blaney's, your Eric Jones type guys. That's where I'd want them. You know, I will use them up front, but if they're in the back, I would feel really good about them. So basically, we need to find out who will lead laps and who will finish higher than they start. That is easier said than done, but I think that there are a couple of ways we can identify that. The first one, and I'm putting a lot of emphasis on this, is looking at what drivers have done at 1.5 mile tracks this year. There have been 10 total races at these tracks, and 3 of them have come in the playoffs. So I think I would put more weight on those races than the full season numbers, because some cars are just running better now than they were previously. And we'll talk about that in the section on the highest priced drivers. That will come into play there. But that is one way, looking at how drivers have scored at 1.5 mile tracks. Go to the racing-reference.info and check out their fantasy tool, and you can see those performances there. The other way to figure this out is via practice times. Last year, the 4 fastest cars in the first practice finished in the top 4 spots during the race. All 4 of those drivers were also among the 5 fastest cars in 10-lap averages during final practice. So I think that this seems to be the right combo. Whoever is fast in the first practice on single lap speed and has good 10-lap averages in the final practice is likely to compete during the race. So I would put most emphasis on those 2 numbers and find drivers who you think will finish well here. If you combine that with who has done well at 1.5 mile tracks, again, putting more emphasis on the more recent races at those tracks, you should be able to pinpoint which drivers are bound to do well. So let's recap this here. You likely are going to get just one championship four driver. That could change if one of them qualifies poorly or if there are a bunch of good value plays, but we need one of those situations to happen before we wind up going all out for those top couple of guys. I think I want to skew towards balanced rosters if I can, avoiding punting. I want to stick in the guys probably around Paul Menard or William Byron or higher from a pricing perspective. That's where I want to live in order to make sure I'm not capping my upside by using someone who's not going to finish well. Finally, put emphasis on practice times and performance at 1.5 mile tracks. If you do all that, I think you should be set up pretty well for this weekend and to have a solid output here. But again, I think that the balanced roster part is the biggest thread to take away for this week. Before we take a look at the driver-by-driver breakdown, gotta remind you that FanDuel is teaming up with Dash Digital Cash, the fastest digital payment system on the planet, to bring the community a new type of prize and exciting new contests every month. Dash is the evolution of money. Check out the Crypto Cup on FanDuel.com for more info. Again, FanDuel.com, and check out the Crypto Cup to learn more about Dash. Let's do our tier-by-tier breakdown here based on FanDuel's pricing. Starting off in the top range with Kevin Harvick, he is $14,500, with Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. all $13,500. Harvick is priced highest of this group, but I also think that he is my favorite by a pretty wide margin, kind of in a tier of his own, because he has killed 1.5 mile tracks this year. He has 4 wins out of 10 races with 867 laps led. Kyle Busch is the only other driver to lead more than 300 laps, and he is still 295 laps behind Harvick. Harvick has been the most dominant car this entire year at this track type. Harvick also does well at Homestead. He has had a top 4 average running position and a top 4 finish in 4 straight races here. I think that Harvick is the clear-cut favorite entering the weekend, and it would take very extreme practice times for me not to use him on Sunday. The ranking of the other three guys kind of depends on what you want to value more. Logano has been more strong recently at 1.5 mile tracks. If we look at the 1.5 mile tracks during the playoffs, the average running positions for Logano in those three races are fourth. It's been top four every time for Logano. Kyle Busch, his average running positions in those three races are 12th, 6th, and 16th. Truex, 3rd, 9th, and 11th. Logano has led 46 or more laps in all three of those races, so I think if you value the more recent races more highly, Logano stands out. I am inclined to put him behind Harvick for sure, but I think I have him second in this group overall. Kyle Busch would sit second because he is the clear number two when you look at the full season stats. Busch finished second in Kansas, which is the second most recent race at a 1.5 mile track. But he has also led just one lap in the past four races at these tracks. That's concerning. I think that what we've seen with Logano is that the Penske cars, which is him, Brad Keselowski, and Ryan Blaney, have tapped into something recently, specifically at the latter part of the summer. So I'm inclined to believe Logano's recent run. For that reason, I am putting him second, Busch third, behind Harvick. Truex has been steady all year, just not quite as good as Logano recently or Busch for the full season. So I think I'm going to put him fourth for that reason. But Truex did lead 96 laps in Las Vegas, and he had a third place average running position in that race. If Truex shows the most speed in practice, I will put him above Busch and Logano. Practice times will do most of the work for me this week. I'm willing to buy into what they say. So for right now, it's Harvick, Logano, Busch, Truex for me. And Harvick in his own tier, Logano and Busch kind of in their own tier, with Truex slightly behind. But I will change that if practice times say something different. If Logano's not fast in practice, I will bail immediately because the longer term look here says that Busch should be ahead of him. I'm just putting more emphasis on the current or the more recent races, and those do favor Logano. So put a lot of emphasis here on practice times. Moving down to the second tier, that is Kyle Larson at $12,500 through Clint Bowyer at $10,000. And Larson, if we're looking for a driver who is going to bust up the championship four and bust up their string of winning this race, probably going to be Larson. He just mops up here. If we look at the past two races at this track, Larson has led 277 laps the past 2 years combined. So over half the laps here, he has had a top three finish and a top five average running position in both races. And he's also done well at these tracks this year. If we look at the 10 races at 1.5 mile tracks, Larson has six top five finishes. That is third in the sport behind just Truex and Harvick ahead of Kyle Busch. Actually, it's Tyler Kyle Busch, who also has six. And Larson has also been in the top five in all three playoff races at 1.5 mile tracks. I would happily use him this weekend, even if it means making tough decisions elsewhere. He has shown in the past he can lead laps from anywhere in the field, so Larson for sure deserves to be on your list here. Chase Elliott, I think, could be a bit underpriced at $11,000. He's been much better recently at 1.5 mile tracks. He lagged there quite a bit earlier this year, as did every Hendrick driver, but been better recently. He won at Kansas, led 44 laps there, finished 6th in Texas with a 10th place average running position. So I think Elliott's a little bit of a price decrease here, which may have been a little bit overreactive to a couple of recent races for Elliott. I also like Eric Almirola. He hasn't had a top five at a 1.5 mile track yet this year, but he has been close plenty of times. He led 70 laps in Chicago before having issues there. In the three playoff races at these tracks, Almirola's finishes are 6th, 10th, and 8th. I would prefer Almirola to start further back to get some place differential points, but he is a good bet for some good finishing points, so Almirola at 10-6, a driver I like for this weekend. Moving down to the mid-range, that is Erik Jones at 9-8 through Alex Bowman at 8-6, and it has two of my favorite drivers from a pricing perspective in Erik Jones and Ryan Blaney. I think they're both underpriced. Jones has been fourth in each of the past two races at 1.5 mile tracks. He has three total top fives at these tracks this year and seven top tens. So he's been good at these tracks all year long. Hasn't led a ton of laps, but he's getting great finishes, and at this price, you don't need him to lead laps. You just need that good finish, and he very much can do that. So I love Jones, and I also love Ryan Blaney. He is $9,600, and I think that Price is being dragged down by his track history. Blaney has finished 26th and 29th here the past 2 years, but that's part of Blaney. He is pretty volatile. But the highs this year have been great, and I don't tend to value track history too much at Homestead because they come here just once per year. So when we look at two races ago at Homestead, that was 2016, and things are wildly different in 2016 or 2018 than they were in 2016. So I don't really care about track history, especially for Blaney. He has five top fives at 1.5 mile tracks this year. That ranks fifth among all drivers, ahead of Logano, ahead of Keselowski, ahead of Denny Hamlin, etc. And Blaney did finish second at Texas a few weeks ago. So Blaney's a guy who can get laps led and a great finish at a low price. So I think if you're going with a balanced approach, Ryan Blaney deserves to be a good part of that. And I don't know if there is a spot in the field where I would not use him. So keep an eye on practice times between Jones and Blaney. But I think both those guys are really fun plays at their pricing here below $10,000. Also in this tier is Austin Dillon. He is $8,800, and I like him quite a bit too. He doesn't have any top 10 finishes at Homestead, but he does have three straight finishes of 14th or better, and he had a 10th place average running position back in 2016. His finishes the past 2 years are 12th and 11th, and he's also been really good recently. Dillon, the thing that I like about him most is that he is doing well at all different track types, which to me says the equipment is better or he has found something within his own driving to improve things. He has been 11th or better in three straight races at 1.5 mile tracks. And again, I'm putting more value on the three most recent races at these tracks. So I think that Dillon is a strong place differential driver if he qualifies poorly. And I think based on how well he has driven, he is in play for me as long as he starts outside the top 10. And given how Chevys have qualified this year, that seems pretty likely. So Austin Dillon, to me, a driver I'll probably use a decent amount this weekend, assuming that the speed does carry over to this week. Looking at the value plays, it's Ryan Newman at 8.3 through William Byron at 7,000. I think this is the range you want to look at for your super low-cost drivers this weekend. Again, trying to avoid punting, but all these guys are drivers who could at least post a top 10 finish. Jamie McMurray is Kyle Larson's teammate, and he also runs well here. Just a bit, I'm a bit cautious, a bit wary of him due to the current form. He has two top fives in the past four races at Homestead, and that's very good. He's at a top 14 average running position in four straight races, but the current form is just okay for McMurray. He has two top tens at 1.5 mile tracks this year, but he hasn't finished better than 17th in any of the three playoff races at those tracks, so he needs a couple of things to align. I think first, I need McMurray to start 15th or lower to get those place differential points, and he has to show speed in practice. So a couple of conditions for using McMurray, but if he can show those two things, I would be pretty good with him for this weekend. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is $7,800, and looking back at practice times from Texas, I kind of think that he may be on the rise. He showed a ton of speed there. He was 9th in the first practice, and he was 1st in the final session on single lap speed, and he went on to finish that race in 11th. That ties his second best finish on a 1.5 mile track this year, and it happens to be the most recent race at those tracks. This time of the year, it's always possible that a team has found something different and unlocked extra speed. And again, they brought Matt Kenseth to Roush Fenway Racing to improve this team. Kenseth got a top 10 last week. We've seen Trevor Bayne have some decent runs, Stenhouse too, so I kind of think this might be legit. I do want to see it happen in practice again, but if it does, I will put a lot of faith in it, given what Stenhouse showed in Texas. Paul Menard, I think, though, may be the guy I like a ton at $7,300 because he brings a lot of consistency at a super cheap price. He is just $7,300, and he has finished 14th or better in set at 1.5 mile tracks this year. He has three top 10 finishes, including a 6th at Kansas, which is a very similar track to Homestead. He was 10th in Las Vegas, which happened during the playoffs. So Menard's probably going to start somewhere just outside the top 10, and that is a little bit annoying because it means he's not going to get a ton of place differential points. But he has shown this year, though, that he can be a decent DFS play even without place differential points. So hopefully Menard does qualify lower than that. If he can be 20th, I'd love it, but Even if he does not, I think he has shown enough for me to trust him in tournaments. So Paul Menard, a driver I like a lot for this week. Based on FanDuel scoring, I think at $7,300, he is going to be a driver I use quite a bit. William Byron at $7,000, also in play for this weekend. Moving down to the punting range, I kind of think Chris Buescher's the lone guy here who looks really desirable. Buescher has finished, he has four finishes of 16th or better at 1.5 mile tracks this year. And that does include two races recently. He was 15th in Las Vegas, 16th in Kansas, and he also finished 20th here last year. I do need Buescher to qualify poorly in order to consider him, but if he's around 25th or lower, I think he's certainly an option. And again, I think that the question you ask yourself is, does using Chris Buescher get me extra upside elsewhere? If it does, go ahead. If not, it's going to be a detriment to your roster. So just ask yourself that question. If you can answer in the affirmative, go ahead, punt, and see what happens. I think that is okay. Before we close up for today, got to do the picks to win for this weekend. Normally, I try to avoid the big three and be less chalky with my pick, but because it's a championship race, I am going to go in the big four, or the championship four, I should say, and pick a driver there. I find it really hard to go against what the data says, and the data says Kevin Harvick is the definitive favorite. So I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. It's super boring, I know, I'm sorry, but I can't help it. I'm going to pick him anyway. If we go below $10,000 for a pick to win, I'm going to go Ryan Blaney. I think that, I'm hoping, I guess I should say, that people hold his track history against him, because it's not super indicative of what to expect because the sample is so small. He has been really good at these tracks recently. I think he's just underpriced at 9.6. So I'm hoping Ryan Blaney gets dinged by people for his track history. His current form is very good. So I want Ryan Blaney. I think he's going to win. And he is 9.6 on FanDuel for this weekend. I think it should be a pretty fun event, though. Again, I think that the main takeaway here is you want to go with balanced rosters, avoid punting, and exploit the relatively flat scoring structure that has transpired here at Homestead in the past. If you do that, pick your driver who you think will win and get a couple of good value plays. You should be set up pretty well for this weekend. This is the final podcast we have for this year, so I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the NASCAR podcast throughout the season. We will be back. I believe FanDuel will be offering contests for the shootout in Daytona in February, so probably a podcast for that. So make sure you tune in then to check it out. I mean, looking forward to it. It's kind of sad to see NASCAR come to an end, but at least we get rewarded with a really fun race on Sunday night, seeing the big three duke it out, and then Joey Logano in there as well to see who will be the champion. It's been a really fun year to watch NASCAR throughout the season. Couple of other stuff here, things in the Number Fire Daily Fantasy podcast feed over the next couple of days. On Thursday is our Week 11 NFL Preview podcast, getting you set for the main slate there. We also have a PGA podcast getting you set for this weekend. If you listen to this NASCAR podcast on Wednesday, you can check that out because lock is not until Thursday for this weekend for the RSM Classic in PGA DFS. Next week, three NFL podcasts. We have the Week 11 recap on Monday. Thanksgiving, three-game slate breakdown. That is on Thursday. And then on Wednesday, we have our Week 12 preview. You can get all those by subscribing on Spotify now. Available on Spotify. We got iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app. Just search for the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you have any questions for me, I am on Twitter at Jim Sonnes, J-I-M-S-A-N-N-E-S. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, P-O-D-S, as in podcast. Do want to thank you all for tuning in for today. Good luck as you're filling out your NASCAR DFS lineups one last time. We'll talk to you again in February. Enjoy the race this weekend. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire.